Welcome, everyone. This is Impact Texas with Nicole O'Say, talking about the issues that affect you and the Lone Star State and highlighting members of our community that are making our region strong. When we take a walk along any street, whether rural or in a city, we almost never think about what was there 50 or 100 years before. Finding out is like unearthing a diamond in the rough. But every now and then, archaeologists strike gold and uncover a site that has the power to change our history. That anomaly happened in Denton County in 2016, when TxDOT archaeologists discovered artifacts from a blacksmith shop once owned by a former slave named Tom Cook in the late 1800s during a road widening project along FM 55. The findings were put on display during Denton's Juneteenth celebration this year. I wanted to know more about the archaeological dig, who Tom Cook was, who his descendants are, and the legacy he left behind. I spoke with his great-great-grandson, William Clark, to find out. All right, and so how did you all first hear about the discovery of his blacksmith shop, and what was your reaction when you heard about this?
Well, at first, I think they had gotten a hold of my daughter and my aunt, my dad's sister, somehow. I wasn't paying much attention to it until they mentioned it to me and asked me. They said they were widening the highway up near Sanger, and they were contacting some of the descendants of some of the land. I thought it was another place that I was familiar that some of my relatives had come from, but they said, no, this was where they were at the intersection of 2450 and FM 455. There was a excavating a hotel and a blacksmith shop, and that possibly my great-great-grandfather was, or Tom Cook at the point, had a blacksmith shop there. My daughter wasn't able. She was teaching and had other things, raising her kids and family, so at the time. So they asked me if I was interested, and I said, well, of course, and how involved I'd like to be. And before I knew it, I was hauling dirt and trimming bushes or weeds.
Oh, wow. So as you all begin to dig and you're uncovering artifacts, tell me what that must be like, because these aren't just any artifacts. This is your heritage.
Well, I love history anyway. And I mean, all kinds, you know, especially black history. But when it starts to pertain to me, and I might actually be, this may be somebody that looked like me, or this is where I came from. It was very interesting. It was kind of, I guess you'd say emotional, because some of the things we pick up and handle, I'm thinking that somebody that is the reason for me being here held this in his hand and used this at one time, or made this. I wonder what the place looked like when he stood there. And like I told him, this is the closest I could, this side of life, that I'll be able to come to some of my predecessors, my family. And it was amazing.
Wow, I can only imagine. Tell me about some of the things that you all picked up about the artifacts.
A lot of it was, there were a lot of household goods, things, relics like pottery, you know, china, but then there were old ammo casings, a wedding band, a lot of tools, pocket knife. There was a pocket knife. Oh, God, there were thousands of artifacts, but you know, the obvious things from the blacksmith, coal, all the stuff, the residue and things left over from the process of blacksmithing, parts of bits and you know, farm implements and things like all the things you'd expect to find around that era, and even bones, like maybe where they had either butchered animals or eaten and left the bones there or whatever, but it just went on forever. At one point, even artifacts from prehistoric times were found in the same spot, and I was informed that although we think we're ahead of everything, even folks back then collected arrowheads and found and kept artifacts too.
Really? So even prehistoric things were found?
Yes, ma'am. I personally found Doug told me it was an awl, like for punching leather, that it was made out of, you know, stone or chert. And I picked it up, and I'm like, you know, I don't know where that came from, if that was actually there before, or if he said, well, you know, you'd be surprised. Even folks back then collected, you know, artifacts. They'd find arrowheads or, you know, signs of, you know, human civilization.
Was there anything that you found shocking when you guys started to dig and look back through history?
Not necessarily shocking. It kept becoming more and more interesting because the picture it painted was just pretty much everyday life. And, you know, the things that, you know, we see the movies and we see the version of it, you know, the cleaned up version, that, you know, small part that we might have played or whatever. But this was a whole functioning shop, and it was owned by a black man during the times when you thought you know, we didn't own a whole lot or didn't do a whole lot. I mean, I've since learned a lot better. I mean, even before then, I knew better than that. But it was just, it kind of laid out a picture of everyday life. And this guy went on about his business. One of the best things about it, we actually found his grave where they had found it. And my daughter and I, my youngest daughter and I, were able to go and visit the grave, take a picture there. I intend to take my aunt, which would be his great-granddaughter, to see it one day, and my mom, hopefully before they leave us.
On that note, because I know this is going to be part of the display during the Juneteenth celebration, there's going to be an exhibit. Can you talk about why sharing this with the world is so important? Because you touched on something when you said, you know, this was a part of everyday life at a time when a lot of us weren't sure about the part that we played at during those times because of the country's history. And your ancestor, he was a shop owner. He was a business owner. Talk about why this is important to share with the community.
Well, I think it broadens the aspect. It gives you the, if not necessarily the whole picture, at least more of it, that a lot of times, like I said before, blacks tend to be depicted as secondary or minor in nature. But, you know, no, we actually played a very significant role. We were part of everyday life, that we contributed something. And not only, you know, was he a blacksmith, he was a minister and a Freemason and some other things, leader of the community. I found a lot of things that were not necessarily at the site, but through further research, you know, documentation, things that they'd signed, places he'd been, things he did. He traveled as a gunsmith with a guy who would shoot every year down in Austin. But it was just the fact that we were here all over the place. We were involved in everything. Everything that took place here, we were part of it at some point. And I think it opens a lot of folks' eyes, changes their perception of some people. A lot of folks that I've met have even said, oh, man, that is so cool. You know, you make knives, you're into blacksmithing, and just so happens your great-great-grandfather did the same thing. I mean, I know that's not hereditary, but it's just, I mean, it points to something that, you know, we were doing a whole lot of things before now. And it was, you know, maybe under different circumstances. I'm sure the landscape was a little different. It was a little tougher to navigate, but we did it. And I think our community needs to see that, you know, we're not just receiving something that somebody allowed us to have. We worked hard and made our way too.
Kevin Henselka is an archaeologist in the Texas Department of Transportation's Environmental Affairs Department. He gave me more insight into this particular dig and others like it. All right, so before we get into the dig along FM 455 in Denton County, I read that these types of findings aren't new to TxDOT. Can you talk to me about the department's history of preserving archaeological sites that are significant to Texas history?
Yes, for about 50 years now, we've done this. This is in response to state and federal laws that require any time state funds are put towards a project, we have to assess not just archaeology, but other environmental factors such as biology, endangered species, things like that, but in historical sites. But in our case, archaeology, we need to make sure that our projects are not adversely affecting significant archaeological findings. We find sites all the time, but not very many of them are have a lot of information in them, or there are other things that we use to judge significance, such as like in this case, association with the historic individuals and things like that. But so yes, we anytime TxDOT does a project, we call in the archaeologists, such as me, and we evaluate the footprint of the project to make sure that there's nothing there that that is significant or might be damaged or destroyed by the project.
Let's talk about this specific dig. What was the initial plan, and when did crew members realize that they may have found something?
And it's very common with projects of this scale that cover miles of roadway. What happens is we have to purchase new right-of-way from private landowners along the way. And the first step is to do either, many of our projects, we can just do a background study and based on our findings, discover that there's no potential for anything there, and we can proceed with the project. But the first step is usually an archaeological survey, where we send a crew out to do what we call shovel testing or even backhoe trenching, depending on the depth of the project impact or the setting, like along rivers. Sometimes things can be buried pretty deeply, but we do a survey and record any sites that we find. But in this case, in 2016, we did a first round of surveys. discovered artifacts at the Sarton Hotel site. Once we found the artifacts, we were able to look at historic maps and realize that there was a hotel there. But as is often the case, we only had access to about 50% of the new right-of-way properties at that time. So when we acquired those additional properties later, we went back out and surveyed again in 2019. Right across the street from that hotel site is where we found the blacksmith shop site. And again, we put some shovel tests in the ground, started pulling out iron artifacts that you would expect to find on a blacksmith shop site. But then it was historic map research that we discovered that this was the location of a blacksmith shop, and also that it was owned by a formerly enslaved man named Tom Cook, which raised a bunch of red flags as far as significance goes. And we thought, wow, this is a very unique opportunity to study a blacksmith shop and the economics of somebody who was a formerly enslaved person and making his way in the Texas frontier, basically.
Wow. So what can you tell me about the artifacts that were found?
Speaking specifically to the blacksmith shop, it was stuff that you would expect to find on a blacksmith shop. But what's important is the Chisholm Trail, the cattle trail, went about 2 miles away from these sites. So in the 1890s or so, the blacksmith shop and the hotel were serving people who were traveling along the Chisholm Trail. So the blacksmith shop, most of what we were finding were like wagon parts and horseshoes and things like that that you would expect to find serving cattlemen and ranchers and things like that on the Chisholm Trail. What's important to remember is the stuff we're finding is the waste material. It's the damaged things that he was replacing because all of the new made stuff would be taken away. And another really important thing we're finding is when you can picture a blacksmith working at the anvil, and you can see all the sparks flying off of things that he's hitting. Well, all of those are white hot pieces of iron that end up in the soil. And using high powered magnets, we were able to pick up all those little tiny fragments of iron and kind of map out where he was working and the footprint of the shop itself, which of course was made of wood, so you can't see anything there anymore, but you can kind of figure out where everything was based on what was left behind.
What type of impact do you think a shop like that would have had on the economy at the time? As you said, this was along the Chisholm Trail.
Yes, it was a very important part of the community there. Everybody needed a blacksmith at that time. He was probably very, we're finding that he was very successful given his situation. And, everybody needed his services. And he wasn't just a blacksmith. I mean, he was an important part of the community. We're finding that he was one of the most reliable people in town to call on whenever there was something was needed. I think there are even stories of after hours, people would come and sit on the anvil and have a haircut. Anything from household goods to agricultural products to ranching and farming supplies, everybody needed Tom Cook at the time. It's interesting that this is the part of history that you don't read about in the books. Somebody who was formerly enslaved becoming a successful businessman in the Texas frontier. It's a pretty significant finding.
It is. It's almost unheard of. As you said, we don't hear about this in the Texas history books. What does it tell you about the possible climate of that particular community at that time, given that he was formerly enslaved, yet he's able to serve possibly all different types of people, become a success and an integral part of the community?
It's hard to place ourselves back in that time period. But it tells me that at least in some areas, how do I put this? Who you are as a person and your work ethic and things like that determine who you are more than your background or your color or race or whatever. Everybody relied on him. And eventually he became basically a godfather to the civil rights movement in this area. He was a mentor to Fred Moore, who became a civil rights activist in Denton. And eventually Tom Cook's family moved to Denton and became part of the civil rights movement there. And we're blessed that we are able to track down his direct descendants, and they are involved in the project. And actually, Howard Clark, who is Tom Cook's great-great-grandson actively participated in the excavations, and having learned about his great-great-grandfather, is now taking classes in blacksmithing.
Really?
and following in his great-great-grandfather's footsteps in that regard.
And so you mentioned you all tracked down Tom Cook's descendants. Can you tell me about that process? What is that like?
I have to admit, I'm not directly involved in it, but we employed basically TxDOT in most projects that we do as far as archaeology goes. We often employ environmental consultants who specialize in archaeology. There's a number of firms that we contract with. We specifically chose Stantec Environmental because Doug Boyd, who is an archaeologist there, has direct experience in this kind of archaeology. I have to admit, I do study history, but most of what I focus on is Native American prehistory, going way back. This kind of archaeology is really important and interesting because we actually have the historic documents to refer to and kind of build on the picture that we're teasing out of the ground. Anyway, Doug had previously done a lot of work on African-American freedman-type archaeology before, and he enlisted the help of Dr. Maria Franklin, who is an archaeologist at the University of Texas in Austin, who specializes in African-American studies. And she has served the African-American community liaison in Denton, and through her help doing genealogical studies and her contacts, managed to track down, I think we have about a dozen of his direct relatives that we've been communicating with. And Howard Clark, of course, has been the most directly related to our project. His Howard's daughter, Tom Cook's great-great-great-granddaughter, has also been very informative in helping us out a lot. So it's been a long, drawn-out process, mostly through Dr. Maria Franklin talking to the community and just enlisting people's help. And we're also recording a whole lot of oral history from these people about their knowledge of their family. And that is all going to be curated in the University of North Texas in Denton.
As an archaeologist, can you describe what it feels like to bring someone a piece of their past that they didn't even know that they had?
Oh my gosh, it's so rewarding. I mean, I got into archaeology just out of watching Indiana Jones movies and, you know, just out of interest. And I'm still fascinated by it. I've been doing it for about 30 years. But this project has been so rewarding because you actually have the opportunity to do that, to connect people with their past. And it's been a really big learning experience for me, especially, I mean, you know, being on the site when Howard is holding in his hand the part of a hammer that his great-great-grandfather used to make a living. And then, of course, seeing him start taking classes in blacksmithing. Incidentally, the person he's taking classes with is Mr. Kelly Kring, a professional blacksmith. We're employing him to help us identify things because, you know, he can see things that we pull out of the ground and go, oh, yeah, that's this.
Right.
And it's amazing. But it's just so rewarding. We had a event in Denton at the Juneteenth celebration in Fred Moore Park in Denton, where we were, and Kelly and Howard had a blacksmithing demonstration. But just talking to people, and first of all, they're amazed that we even have archaeologists at TxDOT. They, you know, that's one of our big concerns, is making sure that people know the interesting things that we do. But listening to them as they hear that we're bringing this person's story to light and involving his great-great-grandchildren. It's something that I don't usually deal with in archaeology. I you know, the people I study are in the far distant past, and this has been different for me. And it's really, it warms my heart to see Howard and Haley learning of their relatives this way.
That's powerful. I can only imagine.
Yes, it's amazing. It's a unique project, and we don't get this opportunity very often. But these present day people being connected to their past that way is very powerful, very special.
Powerful. That same word was spoken by Tom Cook's grandson, William Clark. When talking about being able to touch pieces of his family's past and seeing his history displayed for all North Texans to see. Your family's ancestor, Tom Cook's artifacts, were displayed at Denton's Juneteenth celebration this year. Yes, ma'am. Tell me what that was like.
I had actually participated already and seen several of them. There was actually some things I guess I don't remember that they actually found, but it was still just as interesting as it was when the first time, seeing it all over, and it was actually, you know, all arranged now and kind of cleaned up some of it. We had more information on what some of the things were, you know, parts and pieces, but I started to understand it a little bit better and started to realize how big this thing has gotten. People were genuinely interested. That was a part that kind of blew me away. Everybody thought how cool it was and wanted to talk to me like I was some kind of celebrity. I'm like, I'm just a guy that happened to be born into the family. but I'm interested in it and very interested, but I was just surprised or kind of shocked at how interested people were really in it.
That's wonderful. And you had just mentioned that there were some items that you had seen that you didn't remember them finding initially. Can you tell me about those?
Well, one of them was a knife, and it looked kind of like a small hunting knife, or maybe a kitchen knife. Of course, the handles were already gone or deteriorated. And if you know anybody knows me, I'm a knife nut. I collect, make, build, buy, but I don't remember that being excavated. And when I looked at it, I said, well, man, that's something that I can actually reproduce or replicate. And they said that they actually did do a tracing for me with all the measurements and whatever, so, and gave that to me so I can now produce it on my own. But I don't remember I would have turned backflips if I'd seen that, but I don't remember it ever being excavated. There were some parts of an old Colt pistol that, plus I like guns too, that I never knew. I don't remember them when they pulled it out. Nobody, of course to them it might not have been that big a deal overall, but I didn't find it. I found some large cartridges from, heavy caliber rifles, but I don't remember the handgun being found. And there was several little things like that. And I do remember the wedding band. I wasn't sure if that was his or not, but they found some pocket knives that they showed me that I hadn't seen either. So all this stuff was kind of like personal things, like things he might have had in his pocket or something that was really interesting to me.
That is incredible. I mean, a wedding band even. I didn't know about that. Family's clearly important to you. I can tell by just speaking with you. So tell me about how this find has changed your family's history and what you all know about it and how you even discuss it.
Well, there's few of us left on that side that I know. Now, there's some in, I think, Oklahoma and some places that I'm not aware of, haven't met. I know that there was some communication at one point, but just the understanding that, like I said, I'd always heard mention of one of Tom Cook's sons, Jack Cook, that they said my dad just, that's where he got his horsemanship and the farming or horses, and that's where he got picked it up from, and he was always with him. Now, I heard Daddy mention him, but it never went anywhere past that. But now, and this sounds silly, I guess, but the significance of the names like Mama and Aunt and Mom Kitty Clark, Glasgow, and all those different names they make sense now because I see where they went or where they came from. I can see past just the name that they were and who they were. My grandfather's dad, and that was just it, or my great grandmother's dad, or brother, rather, Jack Cook. And it just kind of stopped there. But now it's deeper. I can kind of see, the faces, where they came from. I can actually see more pictures, too. But it just opened up a little bit more. It makes you want to know more. Because now you know that they were there. You kind of want to know, okay, well, what about before that? Where did he come from? What was it like where they actually came from? What's back there that we don't know about yet, like in North Carolina or where they originally came from? What do we need to do there to find out more, maybe about some of his other siblings? It just keeps going and going and going. And we talk about it, all the time, about what it would be like to know. It's kind of painful, too, because, our records probably were kept a little differently at one point than the other folks. And so it might be impossible or, dang near impossible to get past, to find out the very beginning. But I watched a show just last night or early this morning when I should have been in bed, a guy who had traveled to another country, New Zealand, I believe it was, and how some of those people could trace their ancestry all the way back like 700 years ago. And that was how they introduced themselves as part of that family and blah, 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 before they ever even got down to saying what their name was. And I thought, man, how neat that'd be to be able to speak and to know that far back in your own lineage.
Right. I mean, and that's interesting, you know, because so many of us African Americans, we can only go back so far. So do you feel it's almost a miracle that TxDOT stumbled upon this find and then connected it to you and you were able to go back even further?
Oh, yeah, it had to be. There's no way. I used to patrol that area. I hunted up in that area. I never had a clue. I knew about the Forrester Ranch. The other side, the Clark side, was just a little bit down the road from there. But, you know, I never saw anything other than pictures and names that came from there. But I never would have known. There's no way I'd have known about this, and especially the ties between the blacksmithing and and my great-great-grandpa. But it just so happened. And usually when people start coming around asking about this, that, and the other, it's like, here we go. What are they trying to sell, or what do they want? They want you to buy something. And I kind of just ignore it. But this was different. I'm glad it happened. It's just amazing that it happened. I'm still amazed by chance, that this ever even happened.
You know, I was speaking to someone from the African American Museum of Dallas months ago, and he talked about the importance of knowing all history when educating people about North Texas history. And now this is something that people coming to the Denton area will be able to learn about. And it gives us more of a complete picture of what went on, what the history of that area. Can you give me your thoughts on that in general, and then also in relation to your family's legacy?
We all know that there's another, or if not necessarily another, more of the same story to tell that involves more people. But, you know, you don't hear that, and they don't mention it in school typically. And it seems like, well, maybe there might be an assault on just that information altogether. But, it depends on which side of the coin you fall on. But that's important, very important to hear the whole story. I think I've said it before. A lot of times people think that, you know, blacks, African Americans only had menial participation. They basically did what they were told, or shuffled along and did what they were, you know, left over with. But that's not true. They actually worked. They owned. They had possession of. You know, they had possessions. They had land. They had jobs. They had skills. They built, you know, a kind of a world for themselves too. Although there might have been a false ceiling, or they were only allowed to do so much easily, they still busted through and they still made it. And it was more than just what we were allowed to have, if that makes sense. And as far as my family goes, it just kind of falls into play with what I was taught when I was raised, that, you know, you can do what you want to, you know, as long as you're willing to work for it and get through it, deal with the racism and the prejudice when you have to, but don't ride around thinking about it. Don't carry it around. Leave it where it is. Get through it and go on.
It has been an absolute honor to speak with you, and a very just interesting and enlightening conversation. I had one last question for you. I remember you telling me that the find sparked your interest in blacksmith work. How's that going?
It's doing pretty well. This, you know, this summer's been hot, and of course with my family situation, I'm not doing a whole lot. I'm afraid to get out and do too much with the forages because of the fire, the burn ban. We're sitting kind of in 3 acres with trees and bushes around us. So I could do more of the inside, like grinding and things inside my shop or garage. But it's actually going well. I've learned a whole lot just from, the last 3 years I've been into it. And there's a lot more to it. I'll never learn all of it. I hope not anyway. But it's actually going pretty well. I'm spending more money buying tools and making some, but yeah, I'm still just as excited about it as I was before. I just need the, you know, time. We're still talking about building a completely standalone shop out here in the back somewhere that I can just, you know, when I work, at the end of the day, I can stop without having to put everything up and clear off the carport and do whatever. I can just have a shop and close it and go in the house.
Well, I'm sure your ancestor, Tom Cook, is looking over you and is smiling.
Well, I hope I can do them proud.
This has been Impact Texas with Nicole Osei, where we talk about issues that affect you and the Lone Star State. And if you have a topic you would like to discuss or an organization that should be highlighted, tweet me at NICOSEI News, email nicole.osei@cumulus.com, or call 214-523-2763.